many years I spent putting square pegs in circular holes. I didn't know myself. Why would I come here to live a life stuck in a mold and be bought and sold? I'm ready to be who I came here to be. I'm ready to be everything that I am, everything that I am. The I am, I am 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 the I am. There's no greater feeling loving myself, body and soul, and the pain, it just goes away. I am out in a new world as a creation, perfect and whole in loving flow. I am ready to be who I came here to be. I'm ready to be everything that I am, everything that I am. Ready to be who I came here, who God made me to be. I am ready to be everything that I am, everything that born to be. I am that I am. I am everything I am. I am ready, God. I am ready.
Okay, I don't usually come and get into tears, but that was so beautiful, Laura. Oh, my God. I love Laura, and I love that song, and oh, my gosh. Can we give her some more love? Just. And Ron on the piano. Whew, everything that I am, everything that I am. Well, the question is, are you ready to be who you came here to be? Or perhaps you have also been attempting for years to put square pegs in circular holes, not knowing who you are, but believing what you've been told and being stuck in some mold. Are you ready to be who you are, who you came here to be? And so the question is, who are you? Who are you really? See, we have these costumes, these roles, these parts that we play. And to tell you the truth, everything that you believe about yourself was given to you. Who you think you are was told to you by some other being, How, you're a boy or a girl? Did you come out of the womb going, I'm a boy or a girl? No. You did not come out and know anything about who you were, but you were told that you're a boy and a girl or a girl. You know, the non-binary folks are trying to break through that idea that I'm neither boy nor girl. I'm neither female or male. We live in this world of roles and costumes, you know, and what costume or part you're playing is depending on where you're at. Hey, I'm dressed as a minister today. And this is an official garb, you know, costume, so to speak, of minister who is often in the more official capacity of ministerial ordinations, maybe weddings, perhaps funerals and that type of thing. So we have roles. And think about all the roles that you play. Do you play the role of a parent? Maybe a parent to a pet. I know that I've signed up for that. Or your inner child. You know, you're a Christian, you're a Buddhist, you're an atheist, you're Hindu, you're Baha'i. You know, you are all of these things that you are told that you are, or you decided to be who you are. But who are you really? Athletes, artists, musicians, singers, songwriters. You've all been told things like you're smart, you're stupid, you're beautiful, you're ugly. We get all these things told to us. So with all the things that we think about ourselves, we forget, we get lost. How do you know who you are? I used to be part of an organization called Warrior Sage, and we had an intensive, which for 3 days, we didn't have anything, no phones, no nothing. We basically sat in silence, except when I sat across from somebody, and they would look at me and say, tell me who you are. And they're like, I don't, you know. And you were to speak the truth of who you were in that moment. It was called the Illumination Intensive. I have a backpack. Some of you might have a purse or a backpack. It's full of stuff, right? Well, I am full of stuff. I also called it the Elimination Intensive because for 3 days, on and on and on, I sat across from somebody who's saying, tell me who you are. And I'm like, I'm somebody who's sick and tired of asking me who I am, right? You could do anything because you were speaking the truth in the moment. So who are you? Do you know? Who are you? Underneath all the costumes and parts and roles that we play. We've been studying Don Miguel Ruiz's The Four Agreements. And he talks about how we've come to believe all that we believe about ourselves and other people. What you believe about the Asian culture, the Mexican culture, the indigenous culture, the black culture, the white privilege culture. We have all these pictures of what this is. When you see somebody in a big souped-up truck, that, right? What do you do? What do you think about that? We are making assumptions. Now, I'm going to get into that today. But the Four Agreements talks about how we've been, and it's the D word, domesticated. Many of you are in small groups. Domestication. So basically, you come into the world, and you don't really have any idea of who you are, except that you're told. You're told who you are, what to believe, how to behave, and you're domesticated by the process called punishment and reward. This is just a small review because not all of you may have been in the previous Sundays. So we get what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, what's a girl, what's a boy, and we get all this stuff put on us. And then it becomes embodied. So you don't even choose your own beliefs. However, we end up agreeing with what we're told because otherwise we'll be punished. So we have to toe the line and we start to have auto-domestication and because we have all these beliefs, it is called the book of law. The book of law is all the beliefs that you have about yourself and others. And trust me, you have beliefs. We all have beliefs. We cannot not have beliefs about others and ourselves. Question is, are those beliefs really true? And to question those beliefs. Now, domestication is important, but it's called, are we imprisoned by our beliefs of things that may or may not be true? We become so conditioned, and we, the J word, we judge. Okay, judges, raise your hand. All of you are judges. You could have come in your judge costume, right? Maybe that's what this is. It kind of looks like a judge to me. So we got the judge. Here come the judge. Who is going to judge everything and everyone, the weather, the cat, the dog, you name it, we judge. We cannot help but judge. It's not bad that we're judging. Just be aware of how many times you judge yourself or others. I'm going to talk to you at the end of this service about what to do about that judgment, the judge that you have. But I'm going to save it towards the end. But we have this judge, and it's judging because we cannot not do that. We've been domesticated to do that. So Don Miguel Ruiz talks about how do you break through the prison of judgments, the prison of the book of law, and all the domesticated things we've been taught. Again, I think the non-binary folks that are choosing not to be male or female, they call themselves they or them. Right? They don't want to be her or him. Those folks are trying to break out of the domestication that someone's told me that I'm this or that. That's an example. But Don Miguel Ruiz says there's four basic agreements. Now, he's from the Toltec tradition in southern Mexico that the wisdom keepers had this knowledge. And so he finally felt that it was time to share. These four agreements, if you make and keep these four agreements, they will break away all those other little agreements that you've made that keep you stuck in prison. The four agreements is your personal guide to freedom. Anybody like freedom? That is like one of my favorite words, right? Be free of all the stuff that we've put on us. Be free to be who you came here to be. But you got to get free first. So the four agreements, the first one we studied is what? Be impeccable with your word. Be impeccable with your word. I'm not going to get into a lot of these, but I'm going to give you the summation in a couple sentences. Impeccable means without sin, which actually means going against yourself. So when I say be impeccable with your word, what that really means is don't say or do anything against yourself or think about yourself in any negative ways. That's easy, right? You never judge yourself, right? I get it. Or others. Okay, so you are choosing loving thoughts, compassionate thoughts, caring, kind thoughts towards yourself and others. When you catch yourself judging, and you will, because you can't help but judge, you've been domesticated, you catch yourself and go, oh, look it, I was just judging. And what I really want to do is remember, I gave you a line, and it was called, I forgive myself for judging somebody as less than the divine. Okay? Because we are the divine in expression, whether you believe it or not. Again, that's belief. But we believe that everybody is a unique, individualized expression of the divine. So being impeccable with your word means don't go against yourself in what you think, say, or do, or against anybody else. You're kind, compassionate, loving, caring. Agreement number two I spoke of last week, which is don't take anything personally. Okay. And I know you don't, so never mind. We take things personally all the time because it's all about me. Of course it is. You know, we, again, were domesticated to think that it's about me. I caused your sadness. I caused you to do that thing that you just did. You know, I think I'm responsible for it. And I got that as a little child. I made mom happy. I made mom mad. I can't make anybody anything. The truth is, nothing anyone says or does is about you. Say that. Nothing anyone says or does is about me. That's right. Okay? So when somebody says, you're wonderful, they're actually saying that they're wonderful. You know? Or if they're saying, you're really lazy. Okay? It's not you that's lazy. I'm talking about an aspect of myself that I'm projecting onto you, and that's not the truth of you. So the line I like to use when I notice that someone is saying something to me, I can say, isn't that interesting? It's not even about me. Now, it's not easy, perhaps, to not take things personally, especially when it's directed to you, at you, right? This is a practice. This is not something you'll get and walk out of here. Well, if you do, that's awesome. If you walk out of here today and go, oh, never taking anything personally again. Just notice when you do. Then remind yourself, it's not about me. Isn't that interesting? Kids in I used to substitute teach, used to come up to me and go, Laura said this about me. I would look at them and go, she's just talking about herself. And they'd look at me like, I don't know what she just said, but they'd go off and play again. They just had to do their tattletale thing, right? So now we're going to agreement number 3, which is don't make assumptions. Are you going to turn down the heat? Thank God. Thought I was having a major hot flash personal summer, which I, you know, yeah, the heat's on in here. Yeah, so don't make assumptions. Who makes assumptions? Thank you. I should see everybody's hand, even though you can raise it in your mind. We make assumptions because it's just like judgments. We're always making assumptions. Do you know why we make assumptions all the time? It's because our minds are trained to, they want to know everything, okay? I want to eat from the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. We have minds that are set up to know stuff. And because we don't know stuff, we make stuff up, right? We're making up stories all the time. We're good storytellers, and that's the part about assumption that we're going to talk about today, is that we make assumptions all of the time. Don Miguel Ruiz, in the third agreement, says we have the tendency to make assumptions about everything. The problem with making assumptions is that we believe that they're true. The definition of assumption, and it's in here, let's see. Don't make assumptions. The definition is a thing that is accepted as true or is certain to happen without proof. Okay? So we think something is true, but there's no proof of it. We're assuming such. He says, the problem is that we believe that our assumptions are true. We could swear that they're real. We make assumptions about what others are doing and thinking, and we often take it personally. Whenever we're making assumptions, we're asking for problems and trouble. He goes on to say that we only see what we want to see and what we want to hear. You have a filter. I have a filter, right? This is what I hear you say. What you said probably was something different, but I'm listening for what I want to hear you say, right? We do this. We see and we hear things that we want to see and hear, and we miss some of the other stuff because I'm not interested in that, right? So we have the habit of dreaming with no basis in reality. We don't perceive things as they really are. We literally dream things up in our imagination. When we don't understand something, I make an assumption about what it means. says, because we don't understand, we make assumptions about the meaning. And when the truth comes out, the bubble of our dream pops, and we find out it wasn't anything at all. How many of you, having a personal relationship and making assumptions? Oh, your person knows you so well. You assume that they know you and they should have bought you the right thing for your gift, right? They should. They know me, okay? We assume that they know us, and we also assume that we know them. Okay, we're going to do a little experiment or just a little pause here so that you can have a little experience of some of what I'm speaking of. So what I want to invite you to do is close your eyes. Okay, taking a couple breaths in. Relaxing, getting yourself centered. Taking another breath in. And letting go. Now I want you to invite yourself to bring someone to mind whom you're very close to, someone that you like, someone that you may love. Bringing that person to mind invites you now to think of things that you know to be true about that person. What do you know to be true about that person? Because you know them. So just notice your thoughts about what you know about that person. They're this, they're that. Good. Now I invite you to bring someone to mind whom you don't like. Someone you really don't like at all. And now that you have that person in your mind, why don't you like them? Think of all the reasons why you don't like them. I don't like them because they're... Good. Just notice. Now I invite you just to let all that go and bring yourself present and open your eyes. Well, did you assume that there was a jester in your minister? Perhaps you did. Okay, so we make assumptions about ministers. Assumptions when someone goes, oh, you're a minister, you're a reverend? Yes, I am. Oh, I can't swear or cuss around you. Why the heck not, or why the hell not? Oh, actually, I say more than that, but we're just giving you that example, right? So we assume what we assume. You know the saying, to make an ASS out of you and me is what happens when you assume something. You're basically looking for problems, making assumptions about others and yourself. So would you like to know how not to make assumptions? Yes. Okay, great, because I'm going to tell you. Number one, you want to ask questions, okay? Ask clarifying questions. We often don't want to ask questions because I'll be embarrassed. I shouldn't ask that. I should already know that about so-and-so. I should know that about Rob. I'm not going to ask him that. He'll think I'm stupid. Oh, but it's not about me, right? I'm thinking I'm stupid. So all these agreements go together. So I will ask Rob, because I want clarity. I don't want to assume something. Ask the question. I would rather be silly or whatever I want to label that as than to say, I assumed something. You know, clarity is the key. Clarity. And you can ask questions. So start asking questions. Even though you might think you know the answer, you may be surprised. You may be surprised. It could be that you don't really know, but you think you know, and you assume it's true. The second thing you can do for the judgments, not making assumptions, is to tell people what you want and need. Don't assume that they know. We are making these assumptions. So say, this is what I'd like, not assuming that they know. So tell them, this is what I want, this is what I'd love, this is what I'd need. And then the second part of that is be willing to accept a no or a yes. So we want to break free of making assumptions, right? And I'm going to take off these weird, my mask. Do you mind? It's like, can you take the minister seriously with the costume on, right? You can. Well, it's just a little funky. I'll leave my hat on if that works. So this month, this is in conclusion here. Let's set this up here. Oh, and by the way, do you know that we don't actually see things as they are? We see things as we are. Say that again. We don't see things as they are. We see them as we are. Immanuel Kant says that. Also a great book for anybody who wants to, Knowing How to Love and Be Loved, Lovability by Robert Holden. He talks about the mirrors of people. I just wanted to mention that, along with, of course, Don McGill's book. So this month, we're coming to a close, and we're going to continue with the four agreements for the next few weeks. However, we've been talking about the power of release, about letting go. And the first week I talked about letting go of stuff. But we're talking a lot about the inner world, to let go of judgments and resentments and grudges and such. So, what happens when you find yourself judging someone? You go to the Ho'oponopono prayer. Okay? I've been doing that this month because I'm paying attention to how much judgment I do. I judge somebody and I go, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And I don't just do it in my head. It's not something I do with somebody. Please forgive me. I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you, I love you. It doesn't stop me from judging, but it gets me off the judgment path and back into the truth. So, Ho'oponopono, use that. I want to release going against myself. Sometimes when I think something negative about someone else, or myself, I can also do the Ho'oponopono to myself. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And I can go, I just forgot that I'm the divine. So that's what you do for the releasing of the judgments and for the impeccability going against yourself. To release taking anything personally, I already told you that you could do the, isn't that interesting? It's not about me, but I think it is. But it's not about me. That's when I release that, taking it personally. And to release assumptions, that's when I say, I'm going to ask some questions instead of assuming that I know that about Linda, right? And I ask for what I want and need and be okay with whatever the answer is. It's about letting go. And the time for letting go is now. Let go of what isn't so, and be all that you came here to be, the I am that I am, and let go of all that other BS belief system. and so it is, let it go, the time for letting go, it is time. And so it is.
Nice setup, Reverend Liz. I think it's time for the letting go. I think it's time for the letting go. I think it's time for the letting go. Yes, it is. think it's time for the letting go. I think it's time for the letting go. I think it's time for the letting go. I must have been crazy to stand my ground.